He's brought a new method. He gave wonderful method organizing. Even that also, Jiva Goswami, he established this Vishnu Vaishnava Raja Sabha, which means it means the International Society of Krishna Consciousness. Vishva Vaishnava, Vishva means world. Vaishnava Raja Sabha, the Sabha means the association or the gathering of Vaishnavas of the world. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he reorganized that, because when Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur appeared, there was quite a difference. It was similar to the time when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, very godless situation. The British had recently taken over India, and Vaishnava society at that time consisted of either Sahajas, caste Goswamis, and Babajis, their Bhajanandis, as was described. Thank you. So those who were faithful followers, they were not engaged in preaching work, they were simply engaged in their own worship of the Lord, whereas the Sahajas that were there, they were pretty much despised by a general Hindu society. There was of course the Britishers and the foreign people who were deprecating the whole Vedic culture and doing whatever they could to break the faith of the Indian people and their culture. And there was also those Hindu society, there was great movement. Brahmanism was very popular. Raj Mohan Roy, he had introduced this kind of synthesis of Christianity and Western philosophy and Christianity. And this had become very popular with the so-called intelligentsia, or they call the Bhadralok of Bengal, Thakur Bhaktivinoda was more or less appeared in that society. His family, both sides of the family, were quite well-to-do, rich, especially his mother's father was fabulously rich at that time. Different circumstances. Thakur Bhaktivinoda was second son of his father, Ananda Chandra. His first brother passed away practically before his birth, and his second brother passed away when he was just 8 or 10 years old. His father also passed away shortly after that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was, from his childhood, he was described sometimes just like Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj, he had seen the Lord in the womb of his mother, and that Parikshit means to investigate or to search. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was also just like Parikshit Maharaj was searching for that person that he saw in the womb of his mother. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was also searching for what is the meaning of life. He was very inquisitive, as enjoined in the Vedanta Sutra, Tato Brahma Jigyasa. This is the beginning of human life, Srila Prabhupada sometimes said. So from his very childhood, there was, of course, so many misfortunes were there in his family. His family, practically, they lost his paternal and maternal grandfathers. They lost practically all their wealth, and he lost a couple of his brothers and his father. But previous to that, he was always searching. There was a couple incidents I wanted to just relate from his life. There's those, we were talking something about the crows the other day in class. So there was one incident, practically 2 years old. When the boy was almost 2 years old, his father, he had gone away to Orissa to deal with some family affairs because they had some property in Orissa, his grandfather. So he had went, his father had gone to Orissa. So when he returned, his nurse later told him that a few days before his return, the boy saw a crow flying to a perch, and he was 2 years old, he composed a little rhyme. Kaka kala jingara pu, baba ase nade boro. Said, oh crow, kao, flower of the jinga squash, father comes, sit aside. So he said, as he spoke, the crow changed its position. Some people nearby noticed this and said, oh, your father must certainly be coming soon. And his father came in a few days later. I thought it was interesting. And also when he was very young, they said, because they were actually born in a family of this maternal grandfather had big festival every year for Durga. They were Shaktas, practically. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had opportunity to hear Krishna Katha from his servants. His maternal grandfather it's described that he had hundreds of servants and guards, tutors like that. And so Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to listen to descriptions of Mahabharata and Ramayana from these guards. And I'll just read a little bit. It says, a man named Vachaspatiha Maharshi would often talk to Kedarnath about spiritual topics and told him there was no talk between the demigods and mankind in Kali Yuga. One day, when the boy went to eat star apples in the garden near the parlor of his grandfather, he became frightened due to fear of a ghost that was reputed to stay there. Vachaspati Maharshi described the forms of ghosts to him in some detail, and the boy became more frightened. However, he also had a strong desire to eat the star apples. He then spoke to the mother of a friend who was reputed to be expert in the occult, and she told him that there is no fear of ghosts as long as one chants the name of Ram. By way of an experiment, the boy went to the orchard, constantly calling out the name of Ram. He then became convinced in his heart that chanting the name of Ram was protection against ghosts. From that time on, he was not afraid to go out at dusk, and when he did, he constantly chanted the holy name of Ram. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur recalls, at dusk, I would always utter the name of Ram. When walking about in the streets and alleys, I always chanted the name of Ram. I obtained such great satisfaction in my mind from this that for many days afterwards, I took this medicine against ghosts. I heard that a ghost lived in the Homa sacrificial building. Uttering the name of Ram, I chased the ghost away. So, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he experimented with many different philosophies. He read the Quran, he read the Bible, he read of course, it's described that Chaitanya Charitamrita, many books of the Goswamis, they were not even found. It's described that he searched for 8 years to try to find a copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And through this, he eventually, of course, he re-established all these. He was a pioneer. He brought these things to our attention. Srila Prabhupada mentions that he, on the year of his birth, 1896, when Srila Prabhupada appeared, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had sent one copy, an English book, to the universities across in Canada and England. So I wanted to read, I found something very interesting, actually. This is Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's article in the Harmonious magazine about Thakur Bhaktivinoda. Practically every year they have an article about Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So this one is, many of the articles are written by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciples, but this one is mentioned that written by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So I wanted to read a large portion of that article. It's very interesting. And of course it is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but the language is not so bad as, I mean, so erudite as some of his writings. But please listen carefully. Says he, it is not possible to understand Thakur Bhaktivinoda by disassociating him from Sri Chaitanya and his most illustrious followers and associates. He did not set up as an incarnation of God. He led, to all external appearances, the ordinary life of a householder. He did not claim any originality for himself in his writings, nor did he establish any new doctrine or practice. He only walked with a loyal heart in the path which has been followed by all former devotees and which is laid down in the holy scriptures, the meaning of which was made clear by the teachings and practices of Sri Chaitanya and his associates. His career is, therefore, perfectly simple in its purpose. Thakur Bhaktivinoda wrote as he lived. In his books, he tried to convey what, according to Sri Chaitanya, is the real meaning of the eternal religion that has come down to us in the records of the scriptures through the chain of preceptors. There would have been no necessity for the appearance of Sri Chaitanya if the scriptures had not been grossly misunderstood. There would have been no necessity for the life work of Thakur Bhaktivinoda if the life and teachings of Sri Chaitanya and his associates had not been misunderstood and misstated. The position of Sri Chaitanya and his associates in regard to our ancient scriptures and of Thakur Bhaktivinoda as their loyal follower need not wound the susceptibilities of any reader who is not specifically opposed to our ancient scriptures. Thakur Bhaktivinoda's attitude should also appeal to all exact thinkers as being at best definite and free from ambiguity of method or object. Accordingly, the works of Thakur Bhaktivinoda can be profitably considered only by those who at best tentatively admit the validity of his general position. The scientifically critical attitude need not start on or proceed with the study of a subject with previously formed prejudices. We would therefore ask those who may study the works of Thakur Bhaktivinoda in the original not to form any conclusion on a large and unfamiliar subject before they have accorded him a patient hearing, really free from bias. Skip a little bit. Thakur Bhaktivinoda became convinced as a result of unbiased study of the works of all the associates of Sri Chaitanya and the old scriptures following the method laid down in those works that the words of Sri Chaitanya were nothing but the same language that he could hear God himself always speaking to in his own heart. He has proclaimed this in no uncertain words in his writings, declaring Sri Chaitanya to be no other than the teacher who is ever present in the heart of everybody and constantly admonishes him from within. He pleads with pathetic earnestness that all may unreservedly believe in this statement, which he makes from his own personal experience and which is confirmed by all the scriptures he has studied. By listening to the voice from within, he believed that all would be bound to argue with him someday that the only way of bringing about real harmony in this world is that of chanting together the holy name in the manner that has been taught by Sri Chaitanya. His philanthropy was not confined to sect, creed, or country. His kindness extended unstintedly to the whole of animate and seemingly inanimate nature. He was confident that all religions will one day admit the supreme necessity of chanting the holy name and range themselves under the banner of Sri Chaitanya. There was some other prediction, actually. Prabhupada read a couple of predictions, but there's two other predictions. I actually read them before, but they're not very often heard, I should say. This is also from Harmonious Magazine. Thakur's two predictions is written right there. It says, some person imbued with the power of God will again establish the true Vaishnava Dharma in accordance with the divine dispensation. Two, within a short time there will exist only one Sampradaya school in the realm of devotion, bhakti. Its name will be Sri Brahma Sampradaya. All other Sampradayas will merge in this Brahma Sampradaya. That's a big prediction, because even today in India you can see there's places in Vrindavan, particularly, I remember at Vimalkund in Vrindavan, they have temples of all the different four Sampradayas are there around the banks of the Vimalkund. And in Vrindavan itself, you can find all of the different Sampradayas. So I am going to continue here. Turning to his own countrymen, he implored them to have faith in the old institution of Varna Ashrama and to set about the re-establishment, its re-establishment in a pure form. He has told us that the Varnashram institution is eminently fitted for the spiritual purpose and is superior to any other system that is to be found in this world. Its true significance was missed when it degenerated into a hereditary affair. This degeneracy which characterizes the caste system need not blind us to the merits of the real institution. It is the only machinery that is capable of purifying the heart of the people en masse, and all true patriots should think over this matter with an unbiased mind to be fully convinced of the immediate and imperative necessity of its reestablishment. All the problems of this country and of humanity awaiting solution can be settled by India if it simply reoccupies its spiritual position as featured by the Varnashram institution. All of us can obtain the necessary enlightenment on the subject from the teachings of Sri Chaitanya and his associates as elaborated, as we may add, with this special object in view in the writings of Thakur Bhaktivinoda. Thakur Bhaktivinoda does not underestimate work or knowledge. He only warns us against work or knowledge divorced from relation to God. He condemns non-work and non-knowledge, which cut at the very basis of life. He is an advocate of the most strenuous work and of knowledge in every form on condition that they are pursued with a mind really alive to its relationship with God for the purpose of serving God herewith. Let's skip a little bit more. To those who are opposed to organized sect in any form, Thakur Bhaktivinoda says that the so-called non-sectarians also form a sect of their own. It is necessary to follow and obey the devotees of God. This is possible only within an organization. It is not possible to lead a holy life. This is interesting because I found very interesting because that's what I know. But there's another essay written about Putana, how Putana Sudha Guru. She exemplifies. She's taking that position. She's the analogy of the Sudha Guru. So there's a very long essay on that point about how organized religions are sometimes the dams and dikes of real Sanatana Dharma. The Bhaktivinoda, they call this a, in Vaishnava society, they call the Bhaktivinoda Dhara, is the flow coming from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, just like we were singing. Actually, that flow is coming further up. That when I joined, actually, Krishna Consciousness, before I joined Krishna Consciousness, I got Bhagavad Gita and I saw that list of names, the parampara system. And I was very impressed even before I became a devotee. This is the credentials. Just like any business, you have to have credentials. You have to have some, you want to have, what is your credentials or what is your references? You want to have somebody renting your house or something. You have to see references, or someone wants to be your employee. What are your references? What is your past experience? So this is a very authentic, pramanic, that we're praying to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Rupa Noga Variety, Namo Bhaktivinodaya Satchidananda Namini Gora Shakti Surupaya. He's the personification of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Gora Shakti Surupaya. He's the personification of Lord Chaitanya's power, mercy, and Rupa Noga Variety. Vara, Vara means the best or the excellent. Just like we have Dvijabhara, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is called Dvijabhara. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda are Dvijabhara, or we have Giribhara, the best of the mountains. Govardhan Hill is the best for singing every morning. Giribhara Dhari. And Natabhara, Krishna is sometimes called Vrindabhana Natabhara. Bhara means the best. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's Rupa Nuga variety. Rupa Nuga is the best of the followers of Rupa Nuga Swami. So that Dara is coming down through the... So it is not... This is possible only within an organization. It is not possible to lead a holy life by avoiding association with the devotees. The church offers a society of the good consciously pursuing a common spiritual purpose in place of one made up mostly of bad people who have no such purpose. The society of devotees is indispensable. By opposing this, not liberalism or non-sectarianism, but the anarchical, disruptive, egotistic sentiment alone is displayed. Instead of directing one's energy against principle of association without which life in this world is impossible, it would be really profitable if we would seriously endeavor to purify the society and make it conform to the true principles. The sampradaya or church thus understood requires to be preserved and not abolished. Purity within the congregation will be secured by all its members abstaining on principle from sitting up as a preacher of religion without previous regular discipleship under a true devotee of God, qualifying to such service. No one should preach the religion the truth of which he does not realize by his own practice. Those who, in imitation of the example of certain great devotees, betake prematurely to a life of solitary devotion are less useful to society than those who have set about preaching what they have learned from sadhus and themselves actually practice the same in their own lives. Dr. Bhaktivinoda draws our particular attention to those texts of the scriptures that condemn trade in the name of religion. No one must on any account try to earn his livelihood by selling the word of God. There are 101 legitimate means of maintaining one's family approved by the scriptures that should be adopted for the purpose. It is denounced by the scriptures and as an offense against God himself to become a preacher on hire. Most of the worst evils of all the current religion are traceable to this source. The paid readers of the Bhagavad should be persuaded to adopt some other method of earning their livelihood. The abuse of diversion of religious endowments to secular purposes, including the maintenance of the family of the preacher, is strongly condemned by our scriptures and must be prevented by legislation if necessary, as the very first step in the direction of reform of religion in this country and elsewhere. It is these vested interests that have been the agents of religious corruptions in the past and are the official opponents of their removal at present. The same remarks applies to the mercenary gurus and dealers in mantras. The process is unscriptural, and there is, according to the same authority, not only no possibility of any benefit either to the person who practices such a trade or to one who submits to receive the mantra as a marketable commodity, but on the contrary, it constitutes a positive offense against the divinity and is therefore extremely harmful to such gurus and disciples. It's so nice, actually. These are also several other important points to which we have to attend if we want to preserve the purity of communal worship. Those who occupy the pulpit must not deviate from the true principles of religion and indulge in promulgating the concoctions of their imaginations. No one is fit to be a teacher of religion who is not really free from all taint of any ambition for popular applause or self-conceit. Thakur Bhaktivinoda warns everybody to be extremely cautious in the election of the spiritual guide. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, appeared in 1838. I think 30 years later he became convinced of Gaudiya Vaishnava teachings, became a full Vaishnava. But he didn't take an initiation until 1880, 12 years later. There was an incident when he was in Jagannath Puri. Some Babaji was not attending his satsangs like that because he was not wearing neck beads or wearing tilak. He said, I can't attend such a sabha, such a meeting, because he's not wearing these symbols of a Vaishnava. So he got very sick later, and through dream he was understood that Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a great Vaishnava. He came and surrendered to him, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he apologized to that Babaji. He said, I'm very sorry, but I haven't taken an initiation yet, and I didn't feel that I should wear the kanti mala, neck beads, or wear the tilak until I got initiated. These other topics, there's one time, at the same time, the king came there with his retinue, and they made big commotion and disturbed the meeting at his satsangs there at the Jagannath temple. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur just chastised the king. He said, you may be the king of your lands, but you're here in the temple and the satsang, you're as anyone else, subordinate to the king of all kings, so you should behave properly. And the king, he accepted that chastisement and he begged his pardon. So he warns everyone to be cautious of the election of the spiritual guide. The preceptor must fit in every way to must be fit in every way to instruct one in the true principles of religion. The preceptor who initiates is to be implicitly obeyed and cannot be discarded except for two definite reasons. That is, if the disciple of the time, at the time of choice of preceptor, failed to choose as his guru one who is ignorant of the principles of religion, is not a Vaishnava, a true devotee of the Absolute, such a guru has to be discarded for the reason that he is of no practical help. And two, if the preceptor, although he happened to be a Vaishnava and well-versed in the principles of religion at the time when initiation was received from him, subsequently becomes a professor of illusionist doctrines or a hater of Vaishnavas, such a guru should also be discarded. Thakur Bhaktivinoda lays special stress on the avoidance of all association with ungodly persons. These ungodly persons fall broadly in two classes, that is, those who are carnally addicted to women, and two, those who are without devotion for Krishna. There will be absolutely no spiritual progress if such aloofness is not strictly maintained despite the adoption of every other process that is recommended by the scriptures. The central topic of Thakur Bhaktivinoda's teaching is strict conformity with that of Sri Chaitanya is the supreme importance, nay, the absolute necessity in this age of worship by the method of taking the holy name. Thakur Bhaktivinoda's special contribution to this all-important subject is his detailed treatment of every variety of offense that has to be carefully avoided if the name has to be taken in the proper manner. He ascribes the present corruption of the Vaishnava church, which professes to follow the teachings of Sri Chaitanya, mainly to misunderstanding of this cardinal subject. As you mentioned, that the most of the Vaishnavas at that time were either caste Goswamis or Sahajiyas. They followed practically no principles in their life regarding the regulative principles, that is. The name, coupled with offense, is productive of perdition. The whole subject is minutely treated in very simple language in his Sri Harinam Chintamani, which is a unique work in the whole range of literature and deserves to be translated into every language of the world. Thakur Bhaktivinoda most strongly opposes the blasphemous practice of the public singing of the devotional amorous hymns by impious persons, and on the authority of the scriptures condemns also those who encourage such practice by submitting to listen to such songs. Thakur Bhaktivinoda considers it essential that the spiritual Varnashram institution should be re-established in this country and elsewhere for the benefit of people in general. This is again coming back to the same topic, Varnashram, very important. And elsewhere for the benefit of people in general, as the status of a Vaishnava is not attainable by any except the spiritual Brahman. The Vaishnava is, however, above Varna and Ashram, which are again quite different from caste, in as much as the former serve a purely spiritual purpose, while the latter is a product of history and embodies purely distinctions of social grades based on birth. Thakur Bhaktivinoda talks about humility. Thakur Bhaktivinoda distinguishes true humility from the caricatures of it that ordinarily passes under its name. The humanity of the Vaishnava consists in carrying out the precepts of his religion without minding any worldly discomfort or dishonor to himself. He is prepared to give due worldly honor to everybody without having any interest of his own in such matters for their own sake. But he never defers to the judgment of any worldly person in the matter of the religion. He is as tender as he is firm, but this is realizable only by one who himself possesses single-hearted devotion to Krishna. In preaching the true religion from door to door, despite of all manner of apparent personal discouragement and hardship, with a heart that overflowed with infinite kindness for suffering humanity, without distinction of caste, creed, or color. Thakur Bhaktivinoda set the ideal to his followers of true philanthropy that brings no evil in its train. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur Ki Jai. So these are some of the very, I thought it was very instructive. We've heard most of the pastimes of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, most of us have heard throughout many years. Yes?
That's English,
you
wrote that.
What's that?
You wrote it in English.
That was English, yes. Sorry. That was from Harmonious Magazine. Yes. I mean, this, yeah, Harmonious was English. Sajjana Toshini in Bengali, it's our Nadia Prakash. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had the, what is it, Nadia Prakash was a daily. Every day they were published. I remember in Los Angeles, when I first joined, Srila Prabhupada in his lecture talked about how all these literatures are so voluminous in the Gaudiya Sampradaya. He said, he gave the example, this, we were in Los Angeles. He said, every day in Los Angeles, they print big newspaper like this. This is only one small portion of this world, and this world is one small portion of the creation of the Lord. Even the whole material creation is described by Krishna. Ekam sena stito jagat. Just a small portion of Krishna's creation, the whole material creation is. Anything else, someone, we missed some, all the pastimes of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I thought most of the devotees here have heard them, so I thought we'd read that, but if anyone has a personal favorite, they can. Drunken Hare Prabhu.
Yeah. Sorry. If you read different descriptions about Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it seems like he took a long time to come to Vaishnavism.
Yes.
But we should also understand that in one of the songs that is written, many songs about humility, where he describes himself as being like an ordinary man.
Yes.
But one of the songs that he wrote, he describes his manly form as being like a 12 and a half year old girl.
Right.
In Vrindavan. So I just want to add that Yoga Maya, who initiates these different pastimes with the pure devotees, acts in a certain way where sometimes they appear like an ordinary man, and sometimes they're totally extraordinary, but nobody else could do something like that. So, speaking for Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he always was a pure devotee.
Yes.
It appeared that he went through different stages of development. Also, another thing is that, although Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says everyone will eventually come to one Sampradaya, the Brahma Sampradaya.
No, that's Bhaktivinoda Thakur's prediction.
Yeah, okay, that's his prediction.
Yes.
But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta built a temple.
Yes.
And each of the corners of the temple have, you know, sculptures of the four Sampradayas.
Yes.
And that was the temple.
The acharyas of the four Sampradayas will always be respected.
Yeah.
That doesn't matter, even if there was only one Sampradaya, still we have the four acharyas are there. They're not going to. Mahajana Yunakata Sapanta, the great devotees are always respected. That is the whole point that the we're observed these days, because we're giving an opportunity to worship the devotee of the Lord. And without that worship of the devotee of the Lord, there's no question of advancing in our spiritual life. So all the devotees are respected by anyone who is interested in advancing in spiritual life. So it's of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he set example. This is one of the meanings of Acharya, one who sets example. So his whole life was a perfect example for the denizens of Kali Yuga. Those of us who are born in Nalacha families, we have wonderful example in the life of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, how he worked tirelessly, not only in his devotional life, but he worked as a magistrate. His activities before completely closing his life off, he became a Babaji in 1910, I think, and gave up his life, gave up this world in 1914. But before that, he was always working. Anyone you can see probably online, there'll be so many postings of his daily schedule. He slept hardly 2 or 4 hours. Srila Prabhupada mentions something that he took rest when he came home from the office at 7 o'clock and got up at 12 o'clock, whatever it was. He worked very hard. I mentioned this, where was that? It's mentioned that he had nothing against knowledge or work. So if it's disassociated. So he was perfect example. Family person, worker, all of his associates at work, they greatly respected his ethics like that.
Krishna. Yes, he was very emphatic. Was it Bhaktisiddhanta speaking about Bhaktisiddhanta?
Yes.
About not selling the word of God.
Yes.
And using whatever profits for your household life. But didn't Prabhupada sanction that a devotee who would make that his full-time...
Abhinandan Prabhu.
What?
Abhinandan Prabhu got a letter from Srila Prabhupada.
Okay.
Saying that he could sell books and maintain himself and his family in that way. I don't know if family, but he could maintain. That was all right to selling books and maintaining oneself.
So would that be a general?
One has to see the purpose behind it all. Just like we don't worship the demigods, but the gopis did. They showed us. I mean, that's not for our example, but their purpose was Krishna. If one's sole purpose is Krishna, or pleasing the spiritual master, then so many options are there. Just like my favorite example all the time is Govinda Das, who is taking care of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He put his cloth over him and stepped over him for his service. But for his meal, after he finished his service, he wouldn't step back over, even though he stepped over one time. He didn't, just after he finished his service, he didn't step back over. So this is for the service of the Lord. We enjoyed watching very nice drama from Vrindavan that they performed. Our friend Dinabandhu Prabhu performed on Radhastami. That very famous example, the best example, even better than that, is the Krishna has a headache. So who's going to cure Krishna's headache? Just give some dust from your feet. No, I can't do it. I'll go to hell. So So the gopis, they're ready to go to hell for the pleasure of Krishna. If Krishna's headache will be cured, take the dust from your feet. But you'll go to hell. And now it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all for the devotee. He's ready to go to hell for the if the Lord will even be just a little bit benefited. So the devotee is ready to go to hell if the... I mean, you're getting a little bit diverted, but yeah, whatever is for the pleasure of the Lord, we can take any activity. Arjuna was shooting arrows.
Hi, Prabhu, thank you. Thank you always, wonderful class. I think one of the most important things I heard today is about Tibhino, because I've seen this in my own personal experience. All my friends, so many people, have been totally turned against God because of hypocrisy in the different churches. You know, people that are the so-called leaders, all the pedophiles in the Catholic Church, all the corruption, they have totally rejected God. They've been totally turned away because they don't have bona fide leaders. And coming to Krishna consciousness made me a real Christian. So when I share with people now who are open, I say, we really follow the Bible because I love Christ and I love the Bible, this direct correlation. I said, we really follow that, shall not kill. And many of them really aren't getting it. They aren't getting it. So it breaks my heart. So many beautiful, intelligent friends of mine, so compassionate, so merciful. But this is just these, you know, these bad leaders have totally turned them against religion, turned them against God. You know?
Rishabdi says, Pitana says that, Svajanosna says that, it was that verse is there, that one should not become any kind of leader or father or mother or teacher or this or that, unless he's able to deliver his dependents from the cycle of birth and death. Okay. You can say loudly, I'll repeat.
Yes. Connection, Srila Prabhupada, he's in Mayapur, and you know, before the Mayapur festival, Gopurima, and Prabhupada's talking with the GBC, saying, we have to make, how many devotees are coming to the festival?
Srila Prabhupada in Mayapur, he's talking with the GBC, knowing well, conversation in Mayapur. And his Papa is talking with the GBC about how many devotees are coming to the festival, the accommodation, you know, Papa was concerned, and all detail. And then when GBC said, Papa, you're fulfilling the prophecies of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the devotees from all over the world will come here to chant Hare Krishna. And Papa was quiet and said, maybe, perhaps I am the one, perhaps. And then he changed the conversation. So Prabhupada confirmed himself, you know, in the humble way that he is the prediction of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know, the voice from all over the world, Vaishnavas, to come and chant Hare Krishna. You know.
Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. All right, anything else? Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai. Thank you.